Global shift. Everyone learns a little differently. For precisely this reason, many very good teachers have written very good books regarding our time of extremes. And while the perspectives of some books are oriented toward the big picture of how the changes in our lives translate to changes in the world, others acknowledge these relationships while focusing more on integrating change in our personal and spiritual lives. Edmund J. Bourne has written one such book. It's titled Global Shift: How a New World View is Transforming Humanity. Two elements of this book drew me to it immediately and made it one of my favorites on the subject. The first element of the book that I like is how Bourne integrates leading-edge science with indigenous traditions, spirituality, and the realities of everyday life to paint a picture of the new world that's emerging. Rather than asking us to accept a single perspective as the perspective, he paints an honest portrait of the real world as one in which people are searching for a new worldview that makes sense and, most important, one that works. Within the context of an emerging worldview, he dedicates an entire chapter of the book to taking action. I found this chapter rich in ideas and resources that could help us embrace the reality identified in his title. Among the familiar suggestions that I'd expect to see in such a book, such as lifestyle changes, environmental conservation, and community charities, Bourne also identifies things we can do in our financial lives that reflect the economic shifts happening in our daily realities. These suggestions include, 1, socially responsible ways to invest our money, 2, innovative ways to invest in our communities, and 3, conscious ways to invest in the world's financial markets. While it's not likely that we would implement every single change in Bourne's book all at once, by the end of it, we've gained a solid grasp of the magnitude of the shift that's unfolding in our lives, and we have ample ideas for solid actions that could make our experience of the global shift a little smoother. It's clear that no single source of information or single idea is the answer to the critical choices that we're making in our lives today. Rather, there are many different solutions to many different facets of many issues that are all appearing at the same time. Bourne sums this up beautifully, saying, quote, "None of us can solve the immense problems the earth and its people face alone," end of quote. My reason for sharing examples of thinking like Bourne's and the others previously mentioned is to show that the ideas already exist and the wheels are already in motion to help us handle the global shift. As Bourne writes, quote, "Each of us, by engaging in a few simple actions to help the environment and disadvantaged people, can make a contribution and, potentially, influence others we know to do the same," end of quote. I've met people who think of our era as a time of frightening urgency as well. Once they recognize the extremes, their reaction is that we must act, we must do something immediately, now. While it's a natural reaction to want to spring into action as soon as possible, my feeling is that we're living a time in what I like to call a zone of graceful urgency. It's graceful in the sense that we still have the time to do what it takes to avoid the tipping points of climate change, peak oil, and peak debt, and the dire consequences so many of the experts are predicting. It's urgent in the sense that now is the time to respond. Whatever we're going to do, whatever shifts we're going to make in our world, and whatever changes we're going to implement in our lives, now is the perfect time for those adaptations and innovations. What will it take? It's clear from the studies, reports, and messages from organizations and authors described in the previous section that we have the foundation for real solutions that can make the world better and our lives easier. It's also clear that we have the ability to implement those solutions now. So the obvious questions are, where are these solutions today? Why aren't we using them now? What will it take before we do? The answer to our questions is illustrated in President Kennedy's visionary plan to go to the moon. Something else had to happen first, beyond giving the mandate to go to the moon. Before he could go to the American people with his ideas, before the technology could be designed, before any trajectories from the launch pad to the moon could be calculated, before any spacesuits could be designed or the Tang breakfast drinks could be sealed into space-worthy pouches, before any of these things could even begin to happen, something else had to happen first. That something is what's missing in our lives today. It's a shift in thinking. It's fair to say that the greatest crisis of our time of extremes, beyond the crisis of debt, energy, and food, is a crisis of thinking. It's our thinking that would make the life-saving solutions we already have a priority in our daily lives and motivate us to implement those solutions in the world. The thinking we need would come from a deep-seated desire to contribute to the world rather than from a sense of scarcity and taking from the world, and from cooperating with one another rather than from competing against one another. This very style of thinking is now supported by the new discoveries in the best science of our time. So to answer the question of what would it take to bring the solutions that already exist into our lives, let's begin at the beginning. Where did the thinking that has led us to the greatest crises in 5,000 years of history really come from? The answer may surprise you.